That's enough music. That's enough of that. Anytime music comes out of my mouth, that's enough of that. You know, they asked, can I sing? They asked, can I play an instrument? And I said, I have a hard time playing the radio. So, no, the answer was no on that one. So, anyway, message, a good portion today. Birchanan. Okay? So, when I started looking over the portion, you know, the question that came to me, you know, we're looking at Moses at the beginning. It's all Moses, but we're looking at Moses at the beginning specifically. And he was not allowed to go into Israel, into what we refer to as the Promised Land. So the question was, you know, why do we keep the commandments? Why does he not go in? Why don't we intentionally sin? What happens if we unintentionally sin like Moses did? What happens to us? Because at the start of this portion really is just a continuation of Moses' testimony or his witness. And it starts with Moses telling the Israelites that he wasn't allowed to enter into the Promised Land because of his sin. So just let's look right there at Deuteronomy 3:23 to get started. I pleaded with Adonai at that time, saying, O Lord Adonai, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do deeds and mighty acts like yours? Please let me cross over and see the good land across the Jordan, that good hill country in the Lebanon. But Adonai was angry with me because of you, so he would not listen to me. Enough, Adonai said to me. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Starts off with Adonai praising him. He pleaded with him, and how did he plead? He started off by praising him. Now, some would call it buttering him up. You know, sounds like he's just buttering up Adonai, but it's only buttering up when it's only half true. In this case, it's fully true, everything he said about Adonai. But it still didn't get Adonai across the Jordan. So does that mean it was the end of grace to Adonai, to Moses? Was that where Adonai's grace to Moses ended because of Moses' sin? He wasn't allowed in. It must mean that Moses was being cut off. Heaven forbid. Moses did think that the Promised Land was on the other side of the Jordan, and he thought that's all he really wanted. Please, Adonai, let me cross the Jordan to see this beautiful land that you've been promising your people. It's what we've been doing for 40 years just to get into that piece of land. Let me go ahead. I'm sure he might have even said, you know, you can take me as soon as I get in there, but let me in. Let me at least see it. Adonai said, enough. That's not going to happen. So the question is, where was Adonai's mercy? Where was his grace? Moses didn't get into the Promised Land, it appears. Well, we have to remember that when we're reading Old Covenant Scripture, things that happened in the Old Covenant in the physical foreshadow things that happen in the spiritual. Adonai actually did bring him to the real promise. That real promise was into his presence, heaven. We know this because of the transfiguration story that we see in Matthew 17. So let's take a look at Matthew 17, starting in verse 1. After 6 days, Yeshua takes with him Peter and Jacob and John, his brother, and brings them up on a high mountain by themselves. Now he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Yeshua. Now, some would say this was Moses' fulfillment. This is when he got into the promised land. Finally, Moses is seen within the promised land itself. And I would say, you know, I think he got into a promised land before that. Based on what I see here, Moses was in the presence of Adonai before this. He was in heaven. If he wasn't in favor of Adonai, he would not have been brought before with Elijah onto the mountain. So I think he already was. His sin may have stopped him from crossing the Jordan to get into that land, but was the land the ultimate promise that Adonai was making? I don't believe it was for Moses, just like it's not for us today. He had the favor to gain entrance into Adonai's eternal presence. That's the promised land. You know, for many people today, they believe that sin just banishes us from the presence of Adonai. And it does have that power. God is just up there waiting in heaven, you know, waiting to thin out the crowd. You sin, you're out. You sin, you're out. It's like Simon says. Simon says, does it do this? Oh, you're out. You're out. That's the way they think God is. He's just looking. You know, there are too many people getting into heaven these days. We're just going to thin it out. That's not God. That was my accounting teacher back in college. There are too many accountants. We're going to thin you out. And he did. I mean, by the time that accounting class ended, half the class fell out. But that's not God. That's not love. That's not mercy. That's not grace. God is all those things. Yes, the Torah is there to be kept and not broken. And we're encouraged by Scripture to follow Torah. Deuteronomy 5:29-30 in the Hebrew Scriptures, and 32-33 in your English Scriptures, says this: so you must take care to do as Adonai your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. You are to walk in all the way that Adonai your God has commanded you, so that you may live and it will be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land that you possess. The encouragement is to live the commandments so that our days will be prolonged. For many of us, we believe that means the opposite is also true. That if you don't live the Torah, if you don't live every jot and tittle that's written on the scroll, all those little marks, that we won't have prolonged life. And what's the prolonged life? The prolonged life is not just here on earth, but there in heaven as well. That's just a warped sense of who Adonai is. Because we're not perfect, and we're not expected to be perfect. Only Yeshua was perfect and forever perfect. But we're not expected to be perfect. Hey, I can hardly make it through a day. I feel like sometimes I can hardly make it through an hour without doing something. Thoughts or something. But this is not who Adonai calls us to be, and it's not how Adonai is. Now, what he does say is, don't intentionally sin. Don't do an intentional sin. And in Numbers 15, that's called a defiant sin. Don't sin defiantly. So let's take a look at Numbers 15:30. But the person who sins defiantly with a native or outsider reviles Adonai, and that person is to be cut off from his people because he has despised the word of Adonai and has broken his commandment, that person will certainly be cut off. His guilt will remain on him. That defiant sin is the sin that you know it's a sin, but you're going to do it anyway. This is why verse in chapter 15 right there, Numbers 15, right after that, we're told the story of the man who went out and gathered wood, firewood, on the Shabbat. And what happens? They see him, they take him, they bring him before Moses. Moses takes the problem before Adonai, and Adonai says, stone him. So let's just, in my mind, I can see this all happening. Here he is in the camp of Israel. He starts walking out to get his firewood. He passes family after family. They know it's Shabbat. Where are you going? I'm going to get firewood. You're not supposed to do that today. Don't worry about it. I need my firewood. And he goes and gets it. Well, while he's getting it, they stop him. And they bring him back. He knew what was right. He was warned what was right. He defiantly went against the commandments of the Lord. He had his opportunities, and his idea was, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And what happened? He was stoned. He was separated from the people with death. Stoned. So, do we stone the sinner? Are we called to bring people out? I mean, if that was the case, we probably wouldn't have as much lawn as we do currently, so we can find the rocks real easy. But we're not called to stone people. Because, what did I say? The things that were physical in the old covenant are spiritual truths in today. So the way they acted then is the way that we act, but not necessarily by fulfilling every little thing. So we're told in verse 31 that the one who intentionally sins to be cut off from his people, the people Israel, at that time on Shabbat, they were to stone the one who was working on Shabbat. That's how they separated him. He was put to death and separated. So what do we do today? It's not for us to put him to death. Not in this life. Then where's his death? When's he going to be separated from the people? In the spiritual, after this life. Those who defiantly sin will be separated from the people. Separated, meaning eternity. Separated, meaning spiritual death after this life. That's the death that's being spoken about for us when we read this story. So there's a difference between the sin that leads to eternal death and that which does not. And we're told this again in 1 John. So 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he should ask, and God will give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I am not saying you should ask about that. All unrighteousness is sin, but there's sin not leading to death. It tells us not only is there a difference between sin that leads to death and sin that here that's eternal separation from Adonai, right? That's what death is, eternal separation from Adonai, and the sin that can be atoned for. We're even told that all sin is unrighteous. But there's a way back from that sin. The unintentional sin. There's a way back from that sin. The intentional sin is not going to be atoned for by the sacrifice of Yeshua on the stake. The unintentional sin gets covered. The intentional sin does not get covered. Does that mean that the one who intentionally sins, there's just no help from him? Don't even talk to him. Why even bother witnessing to him? Oh, you, no, not you. Let me circle back on that one for a moment. We'll get back to that. Let's talk about the commandments first and the law or Torah and what should they be for us. The law is spoken about as taking on a yoke. We spoke about that a little bit the other week. And of course, we think of the yoke as a controlling item for a beast of burden. What the commandments really do is point us to free will. Now, how strange is that? I'm saying that the commandments are a yoke on us, but they point to our free will. A yoke is something that controls, but I'm saying it's free will. How do you have free will when something's controlling you? You see, once we put on the yoke of the commandments, the question is, do we still have free will? And the answer is yes. The free will is to keep the yoke on or take the yoke off. To maintain the covenant, commandments, or to break the commandments. That's your free will. You see, when we have that yoke of the commandments on us, of Torah on us, it guides us on how we should live, how we should be. The struggle comes when we don't want to do it. And the yoke says go this way, and we're trying to go that way. And we're, oh, that's our struggle. But here's something that may surprise you. Your free will is stronger than that yoke. Your free will says you can take that yoke off at any time. That's your free will. Because we can just remove it and walk away. At any time, you can just take the yoke off and walk away. And I'm going to tell you, some people are doing it without even realizing that they're doing it. Because they handle Torah like a food menu. I'm going to have the Caesar salad, but no cheese, an extra tomato. But ma'am, there's no tomato. It'll say, no, I want extra tomato. All of a sudden, it's their will that would be done. Torah is not a food menu that you go into a restaurant and you ask, please make it this way. Torah is Torah. You know, and we know a bit about Torah and how it should be handled based on what it looked like coming down from the mountain, from Mount Sinai. Let's go to Exodus 32:15. This is where Moses is bringing down the tablets. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets that were written on both sides, on one and on the other. Two tablets written on both sides. Why were they written on both sides? So nothing could be added to it. There wasn't room enough to add some more to it. And that's how we're supposed to handle Torah. Don't add to it. Why was it written in stone? We know the saying, well, that's written in stone. You can't change it. Right? That's where we get the saying from. It was written in stone so that we don't change Torah. So the reality is that Torah should be more than just that yoke upon us to control our emotions. It should be within us, because within this portion, we get the most important piece of liturgy of all Judaism, the the Shema, and most of the Vahafta. Deuteronomy 6:4, we've already chanted it, but let's read it one more time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words which I command you today are to be on your heart. We're told to carry the Torah not on our necks as a controlling mechanism, but upon our hearts as a loving mechanism. We're not to sin, not because we're controlled by the law, but because of our love of Adonai and our love for others that should be controlling us. And when we do this, then we can look forward to that eternal blessing from Adonai. We need to look at the comforts and blessings that and determine whether they're temporary or eternal. Why are we making decisions that we're making today? Are we making them for the temporary comforts or for eternal comforts? Are we making them for the short term, or are we making them for the long term? Peter in 1 Peter tells us to look for that which does not fade, but which is eternal. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. In his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. An incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance that has been reserved in heaven for you. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There are blessings in this world which will become corrupted, defiled, and faded. This body of mine, the body of yours, it's a blessing. But it become corrupted, defiled, and faded. How many feel like this is the body I want to have for all eternity? There is not a hand going up. There is an eternal that we should be looking forward towards. And we're told also by Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, as well as other places, where to place our trust. Because especially in harder times, we can lose sight of the eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:16 has a word for us. It says, Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our trouble, light and momentary, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison, as we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what we can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Now, you remember last Shabbat, during my message, I actually read a little bit out of the Haggadah from Passover. Do you remember what God was called there? Adonai was referred to as the Eternal. That's one of his names. The Eternal One, the Eternal. We're not to lose sight of the Eternal. We're not to lose sight of who he is. The Eternal is not just him, it's forever. But the Eternal is him because he is forever. So now let's get back to the issue of sin. We all know that we sin. Even Shaul tells us in Romans that he sins. Romans 7:14. For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am the flesh, sold to sin. For I do not understand what I am doing. For what I do not want, this I practice. But what I hate, this I do. What he's saying is that no one's perfect, but we must try not to be intentionally imperfect. Don't be intentionally imperfect. By that I mean, don't do the intentional sin. Don't say, I know what the Adonai wants, but it's not what I want. That's defiant. So does that mean the person who's not walking with Adonai currently will never be granted grace? Never have a chance of eternity before him? Even though maybe he's doing something he knows is wrong in his heart. He's not walking with Adonai. He's doing all these sins. Something's pulling at him. He knows it's wrong, but he's still doing it. Never to get into heaven? No. Because when you accept Adonai, when you accept Yeshua as the Messiah, you become a new creation. If you make the decision and it truly, truly changes your heart, and you accept with your mouth that Messiah is Yeshua, and you accept into your heart that he died for your sins as the price, that price of death for your sins, then you will be saved for all eternity. It does not become too late for anyone. So if you're watching, perhaps it's the first time you've heard the message. Or perhaps it's the first time you've heard the message and it's taking root in your heart. It's not too late. Perhaps you're one of those who knew Messiah early in your life and you fell away. And now you say, well, it's too late for me. I've been too far astray. I've been too long without Messiah. I've done too many things that were against him. It's not too late. His arm is never too short. The blood of Messiah Yeshua is never too weak to cleanse every sin. Even the intentional sin that you've done before accepting can be cleansed. Once you accept, you're held to a different standard. If you've fallen away, you still have opportunity to come back. By accepting Yeshua as the Messiah. But if you don't, there's an eternity out there for you too. But that's not the good news. Because that eternity is filled with fire and pain from being separated from Adonai. That's not a new covenant only teaching. That happens because of the teaching in the old covenant, because of the teaching in the prophets, because of the teaching in the writing, because of the teaching in Torah. That was not something that they came up with somewhere right around the year zero. That was, always, is going to be, always, will always, always be So if this is your first time that you've heard this, and the first time it's sinking into your heart, the first time it's taking root in your heart, or maybe you've wandered and now you're being prompted to return back to Yeshua as your Messiah, now's the time to act on it by accepting him in as a prayer. So if this is your first time, or your time that you're turning back to him, say this prayer with me. Father, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, that you are God eternal, and that I've sinned before you, but that you sent your son Yeshua to pay the price for my sin. I accept that Yeshua has paid that price for my sin through his death, and that by his blood I am cleansed. I renounce my life of sin and will strive to walk in your ways in my life. And I thank you, Abba Father. It's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. It's a simple prayer, but it has eternal ramifications for you. Father, we just thank you for your grace and mercy that you let us know who you are. Let us know your plans. Thousands of years back, you made the plan on how to reconcile man with you. And today we're seeing it acted out. Today we have the blood of Messiah that cleanses us. Today we have the prophets who point us back to you. The prophets who point us back to Torah so that we may walk with you. Ruach, I ask that you soften hearts today, open eyes today, remove veils from our eyes. We just thank you for the word that you've given us today. I pray that it is fruitful for those who have heard it and need to act upon it. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace upon all of this. Amen and amen. So that's the message for today. The message for today is that God's grace and mercy extends beyond even that which we see with our physical eyes. Amen. So, before I close with the Aaronic blessing, I want to give opportunity for those who need prayer. I can't lay hands, but we certainly can pray. You can't whisper into my ear what you need prayer about, but he knows. So whether you're here in the sanctuary or you're watching on live stream, if you need prayer, I'm inviting you just stand up for a moment and we're going to pray with you. Father, we thank you that you are great and mighty. Great and mighty over all things, physical and spiritual. Father, I ask for these brothers and sisters who stand before you physically and even those who are emotionally, spiritually standing before you, that you would bless them, heal their bodies as well as their emotions and spirits, that you would cause reconciliation in their life, that you would bring financial blessing upon them. You know the issues that they've stood before you because of. So I ask that you would act upon them, Ruach HaKodesh, in a great and mighty way, that the tests that they are going through today would be testimonies of your greatness tomorrow, and possibly even later today, because you are so mighty, the things that you do, you can do immediately. So I ask that you touch them with your grace and power and might and love and mercy in all of their life. And I thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. And now let's all stand for the Aaronic blessing, that piece of literature from Numbers 6 out of today's even. No, not out of today's. I'm a book behind. Out of Numbers 6, we're in Deuteronomy. What am I thinking? I'm thinking that you're still going to be blessed because he is God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Yevarechach Adonai mirishmarecha. Yireh Adonai banav alecha vichunecha. Yasar Adonai banav alecha vissaslim lecha. Shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. Amen and amen. Have a great Shabbat. We will see you on the Zoom, or we'll see you next Shabbat. Blessings to y'all. Amen.